Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Why don't you just grab your Bible and come on in and make yourself right at home. We have another beautiful lesson on today in which we're going to be talking about on today, the Good Shepherd. And our lesson text is going to be found from Psalms 23. And so as you get in your Bible and turning to Psalms 23, we're going to look at the Good Shepherd. And we're going to be talking about Jehovah. The Lord is our shepherd, Jehovah Rophi. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Chief Shepherd. The Shepherd will provide, the origin of Jehovah Jireh. He supplies all our needs. The shepherd leads beside still waters, the origin of Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. The shepherd restores, the origin of Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. The shepherd leads in the path of righteousness, the origin of Jehovah Tiskanu. Following the shepherd brings righteousness, and that the Lord is always present. The origin of Jehovah Shammah. He promised Moses he would be with him. He never leaves us. He blessed us in the midst of trial. Then we're going to look at Jehovah, the shepherd, will fight our battle. The origin of Jehovah Nissi. We can do all things through him, the good shepherd. And then we're going to conclude on tonight and with prayer. So as we join together, let's take a look here at the scripture text that we'll be looking at on tonight, and that is the Psalms 23, or the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23:1 said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Our thought for today will be around David perceived the shepherd about whom he wrote as one who could meet all his needs as demonstrated in the compound names of Jehovah. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the various names of Jehovah in relationship to the Psalms 23. So let's take a look here at the beginning. It said, as the good shepherd, Jehovah spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, saying, for thus said the Lord God, behold, I, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, said the Lord God. Ezekiel 34:11-15. Although Jehovah set up many under shepherds over his people, Israel, he alone was the great shepherd who watched over them. Psalms, the scripture also state over in Ezekiel 34, verses number 23-24 and 30-31 states on this wise, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, said the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my shepherd, are men, and I am your God, said the Lord God. Jehovah God will become incarnate in the Son of David, Jesus Christ, so that the people of Israel might have one shepherd, who also is their God. Generally, the people of Israel rejected their Messiah at his first coming, but the day will come when the righteous remnant will rejoice at the second coming of the Jesus Christ. They will recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd and bow before him in worship. And you'll see that over in Isaiah 40, verses number 9 through 11. To the Old Testament prophet, Jehovah, Yahweh, was the one true shepherd who was to come. Today we know that the one true shepherd through Jesus Christ, the visible image of the invisible God, as the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist bore witness of Jesus and thereby fulfilled Isaiah 40 and 3. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now let's take a look at, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rapha. He is the good shepherd. The Jews of Jesus' days understood Jehovah was the true shepherd of Israel and that they were his flock. He alone was the good shepherd who cared for the sheep. Many false shepherds have come pretending to have the people's best interests in mind, only to take advantage of them for their own selfish profit. They scattered the flock of Israel and left them wounded and defenseless before their enemies. Some had even feigned to be the Messiah, only to be discredited, leaving the people disillusioned and skeptical of the promise of the Messiah. When Jesus asserted himself as the good shepherd who would give his life for the sheep, he was claiming to be Jehovah God. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine as the Father knoweth me. Even so, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10, verses 14 through 16. He is the chief shepherd. When Jesus declared that he had all power in heaven and earth, Matthew 28 and 18, he identified himself as God. Jesus Christ indeed demonstrated authority and the judgment as God manifested in the flesh. Moreover, one day he will return in the power and authority of the Father to establish his kingdom in the earth. The Apostle Peter referred to Jesus Christ as his second coming as the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5 and 4. All other who served as pastors and teachers are under shepherds of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. The shepherd will provide. The origin of Jehovah Jireh. When Abraham was ready to offer up his son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice, God intervened and provided a substitute ram, which was caught by his horn in the thicket. Hearing the voice of God, Abraham looked up and saw the ram, which he offered gladly instead of his son. Thus Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means Jehovah will see to it. Jehovah is a symbolic name for Mount Moriah. In other words, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Let's look here. He supplied all our needs. The greatest need of mankind is salvation. Fallen man is under the condemnation of sin and death without the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Through the incarnation, God was able to give his only begotten Son to achieve mankind's redemption. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was given to die in our stead so that we might attain eternal life. The good shepherd leads his flock through the dry, barren wilderness of life to find green pastures. He supplies substance to feed both the natural and the spiritual part of his people, and he will care for their needs. The psalmist David wrote, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalms 37 and 25. By trusting in the providence of God, we are certain that he will meet all our needs. And we must recognize, children of God, that as we trust in the providence of God, God is not a God that will lie. God will come through on behalf of his people. What God wants us to do is to trust him with all our hearts and not to lean to our own understanding. Again, we must trust God, even as the economy is changing and things that are happening and transpiring. God still is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. His providence is awesome. He will continue to meet and sustain and protect and provide for his people. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Shalom, Oshan. It is certain that God will meet all of our needs. I don't care how bleak it may seem, God's still meeting your need. Even though things are shifting and changing, God is still meeting our need. As the people of God, we are to place our trust and confidence in him. As we seek after his righteousness and abide in his word, we will see that God is faithful and he will not withhold any good thing from his children who trust in him. The Apostle Paul wrote, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we must rest assured that God will supply all of our needs as we trust and put our confidence in his providence. Now let's take another look at aspect here. The shepherd leads beside still waters. The origin of Jehovah Shalom. Because of the oppression of the Midianites, Gideon crouched in fear while threshing grain behind the winepress. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and commissioned him to fight against the Midians. When Gideon perceived that he had been visited by an angel of God, he was in great fear lest he should die. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Midianites. God gave supernatural peace to Gideon in his time of fear. And God wants to still yet give out supernatural peace unto his people. In the midst of everything that is going on, God is still Jehovah Shalom. And we can rest assured that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what the word of the Lord said. So rest in God. Trust God. God, we trust you as a provider. We trust you as a waymaker. We trust you as one that is our Jehovah Shalom that will provide supernatural peace when, Lord, fear will want to come and grip the heart of your people. Supernatural peace will supersede it and overthrow everything. He is our peace. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us peace by the power of his Holy Spirit. See 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Having received the spirit of love, power, and self-control, we trust not in our own power, but in the power of God. We trust in the power of God. Walking with God and embodying the believers to face uncertainty and danger without doubting and trembling. With God, we have nothing to fear. If God is with us, who can prevail against us? Moreover, he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. The good shepherd knows his people needs to drink from the still water where there's peace of the Lord, bring comfort and quietness, not from this world rushing streams of anxiety and fear. No matter how dark the cloud that gloom over our thoughts, we can find peace in the arms of Jesus. Jesus promised, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14, verses number 27. As we learn to release ourselves from every thought that endangers fear or engender fear or doubt, and learn to focus our thoughts on the goodness of God, we will exercise and experience the peace of God. Now let's stop there and let's contextualize that to our lives today, because we're living in a time where there's so many things that are transpiring, and we're looking at a time in which many things are happening in the world, in the economy, the gas, houses are being foreclosed. We are seeing jobs, people are laid off from their job. But even in the midst of it all, we must declare and decree, what are you believing right now? Are you going to believe them or are you going to believe him? And when I mean that, I'm talking about the report of the economy and things that are happening. Are you going to believe that God will still yet supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? And so what we must do when doubt comes to our mind, we must bring that thought into captivity and choose to focus in on the goodness of the Lord. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Amen. You must focus in on the Lord and experience the peace of God which passes all understanding. And you can find that over in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 7. By refusing, here it is, to allow the cares of this world to occupy our thought, we abide in the peace of the Lord and make our petition known unto him through fervent prayer and supplication. Now, one of the things that God told me, he said, Helen, tell my people, they must stay in prayer. They must go back to prayer and things. That is the vehicle. That is the medium in which God is going to bless his people, and that's through prayer. As we cast our cares upon Jesus, however, let us also remember to offer thanks for all of his many blessings as we live by faith in him. And the peace of God will comfort our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so as we begin to cast our cares, have you cast your cares today upon him? These are my cares, Lord, and I come to you and cast them on you. I don't care how small or how minute it may be. God wants us to cast those cares upon them because he cares for us. And we must be the ones that cast them upon them. Now, let's look at another one. Jehovah restores. The origin of Jehovah Rapha, God miraculously led people of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground and caused the water to come crushing down on Pharaoh and his army. Following this miraculous deliverance, Israel traveled 3 days in the wilderness where there was no water. Finally, they came upon the water of Meriah, where they had hoped to quench their thirst, but the water was too bitter to drink. Forgetting the great miracle that God had done for them, the people began to murmur and complain. Now, we need not, children of God, to complain about the provision of God and what God is doing in and through our lives. And we should not allow complaint to take root in our spirits and hearts. And when you find yourself going there, you must grab yourself and say, God, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. You've been good to me. You've been kind, and you've been righteous unto me, and you've done right by me, God. And I praise you, and I worship your holy name because you're the righteous Savior, dear God. And once you begin to engage yourself into praising God and worshiping God, you're going to be seeing God just release peace into your mind, confidence into your spirit, trust into your soul, because you're now rolling your dependency upon Christ Jesus, our Lord. When Moses cried to the Lord, God directed him to cast a certain tree into the water, and the water was healed. And so Israel was refreshed and restored. And you'll see that over in Exodus chapter number 15, verse 25. It was at Moriah that God revealed himself to Israel as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15 and 26. Now let's take a look at this. He is our healer. There are times in our life when God tests us to prove our faith in him. When we murmur and complain instead of calling on him for guidance and direction, we bring shame and sorrow to ourselves. And that's why it's so important for us children of God as to seek him and call on him for guidance, because he knows that we don't know the way, or we don't know the direction, because there's many things sometimes set before us, and we're trying to decide, should I go in this direction or should I go in that way? But when we call upon God and say, Lord Jesus, we need your direction, and we need you to lead and guide us. And once we begin to seek the guidance of the Lord, he will lead and guide us into all truth. God wants to turn our sorrows into joy, if only we will call on him in his name in faith. And we know his name is Jesus. And when we call on that name, he promised he would. Jesus bore stripes on his back for our healing. See Isaiah 53 and 5, 1 Peter 2 and 24. As the healer of both the body and the spirit, there is no disease, no wounded spirit that he cannot heal. Cancer, polio, epilepsy, heart disease, diabetes, neurological disorders, AIDS, all the other diseases are subject to the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. As our healer, Jesus will respond to fervent and effectual prayers of the righteous man or woman of faith. The gift of healing will operate in a healthy body of believers who have been empowered by the Holy Ghost. See 1 Corinthians 12 and 9. God's word admonished the sick to call for the elder of the church, who will anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus and pray for their healing. James 5, verses 14 and 16. By confessing our needs in prayer for one another, we can have confidence of receiving the healing grace of God. Let's look here. Psalms 103. Verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases. Then Matthew 4 and 23 states, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. He is our healer. I don't care what the situation is. It's not above the name of Jesus. Come on and shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now let's take another look. The shepherd leads in the path of righteousness, an origin of Jehovah Tishkenu. Jehovah prophet Jeremiah prophesied of a time when God will raise up a Messiah who will restore the scattered flock of Israel and Judah. When the Messiah came, he will cause the people to be clothed with the righteousness of God. Further, he will gather all of Israel from the land where they had fled. They will return again to the land of Israel so that a righteous remnant could be saved. God promised that he would lead them in the path of righteousness and that they would dwell safely in the land of promise. Jeremiah 23, verses number 5 and 6. Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his day, Jehovah and Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tiskanu is a Hebrew name for the phrase, the Lord our righteousness, in Jeremiah 23 and 6. As he was the promised source of Israel's righteousness, so as he is the source of the righteousness of the believers today. And that's key for us as children of God, because he is our righteousness. And so we can depend upon the righteousness of God. He clothed us with the robe of righteousness and his own righteousness, not our own self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Now let's look at another point about the righteousness. Following the shepherd brings righteousness. All those who will follow the good shepherd in fulfilling the righteousness of God's law will inherit eternal life. As the good shepherd, Jesus was willing to give his life for the sheep. Therefore, all who would follow him must be willing to lay down their lives through serving others. True Christianity is demonstrating the love of God through mercy and forgiveness. If we are to follow Christ's example, we must bear no ill will toward our neighbor. Rather, by long-suffering and patience, we are to bear one another's burden and exalt the name of Jesus through our action. Now let's look at the next one. The Lord is always present. The origin of Jehovah Shammah. God is omnipresent and the eternal spirit. He always has been universally present and he shall be throughout eternity. As the good shepherd, the Lord would never forsake his people. Whenever dangers come to them, he is faithful to fight their battles and protect them from destruction. Ezekiel prophesied that God would dwell in the midst of the tribe of Israel as Jehovah Shammah. The word, the Lord is there, which would be the name of Jerusalem, Ezekiel 48 and 35. God always has desire to dwell among his people so that he would fellowship with his creation. Just as the shepherd founded companionship with his sheep, and the sheep found it comfort in the present, God's tabernacle himself in flesh, that he might live among his people and redeem them. Now, through the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost, he abides with us to lead us and guide us in the way of truth. Now, let's take a look at the next point. He promised Moses he would be with him. After the Lord plagued the Israelites because of the golden calf, he told Moses to continue leading the people to the promised land. God refused to give up in the midst of the people because of their stubbornness and rebellion. When Israel heard this, they wept and stripped themselves of the ornaments. When Moses went into the tabernacle to talk to the Lord concerning the people, God appeared unto Moses in a cloudy pillar. And all the people arose and worshiped the Lord as they watched from their tents. In that meeting with the Lord, Moses received the assurance of his divine presence on the way to the promised land. God spoke to Moses face to face as the man spake to a friend, and Moses urged the Lord to lead them. In response to his request, God promised to go before Israel and to go with Moses because he had found favor with the Lord. God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Exodus 33 and verse number 14. Now, let's look at another aspect about Jehovah Shammah. That would be he never leaves us. Jesus promised his disciples that he would never leave them or forsake them. As the Lord and Savior, he will go with us wherever we go. We are never alone because he dwells within us through the Holy Ghost. We should find comfort in knowing that he will fight our battles because of his love for us. When troubles come, trials test our faith, he is present. He is a friend that is closer to us than our own family. He sustains and refreshes with his spirit in our times of great adversity. Now, the scripture says over in Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we as children of God, we must take comfort in the fact that God, you said you were not going to leave us, nor would you forsake us. And so when you find yourself in a dilemma or in a circumstance or a situation where it seems as though that God is not there, you must take heart in your mind and begin to decree and declare the promise of God is just like a time release capsule. And right when you need it, you release the word of God over the situation, begin to say, God, you said that you are my Jehovah Shammah, Shelebo. You said you will not leave me, nor will you forsake me. And then, God, I'm trusting you now that you will not leave me, that you will not forsake me. And come on and just shout hallelujah, because that's the God that we serve. I don't care how bleak it looks. And God promised, God stated in the word, that there was going to be perilous times, and we're living in those perilous times where it's waxing worse and more gross and more wicked in the land. But in spite of it all, God said, I will not leave my people. I will not forsake my people. And what we need to do as children of God, I hear the scripture going in my spirit right now with Sarah declares, she said, I judge you faithful. God, I judge you faithful. And sometimes we need to just borrow Sarah's testimony. If you don't have a testimony of that, you can just borrow her. Sarah, can I borrow your testimony? And I want to judge God. I judge you faithful. And you are a faithful God. The constant presence of God in our life drives away doubt and fear when we face difficult moments. We know that he loves us and that he will sustain us during those seasons, the season when it doesn't seem like God is around. He's still yet sustaining his people. Now, let's take another look at this. Jehovah Shammah, he blessed us in the midst of trials. Trials only make us stronger because we learn to lean on God. Through each trial and test, our faith grows stronger as we rely on him to deliver us from our affliction. Our most difficult hours often are crowned with the glory of God's deliverance and strength. We can be certain that God, the Good Shepherd, will lead us out of the valley of despair if we will follow the Holy Spirit guidance. Even when we go astray, our shepherd will not abandon us to our enemy. He will guide us through the instruction of his word. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what Job said over in Job 23 and 10. Now, let's take another look at another aspect of what our God is able to do. It said, the Lord will fight our battles. Jehovah Nisi. In Exodus 17, God demonstrated his presence with the people of Israel through the leadership of Moses. When God directed him to strike the rock of Mount Moriah, Sinai, Moses obeyed and God gave them water. Following that, the Amalekites fought against Israel. Moses stood on the hill overlooking the the fight against the Amalekites. And as long as Moses lifted up the rod of God, they prevailed against the Amalekites. Whenever Moses grew weary and let it down the rod, however, the Amalekites, they will begin to prevail against Israel. Consequently, Aaron and Ur, they held up Moses' arm until the setting of the sun, and Israel was able to finish the battle against the Amalekites with complete victory. Now, I come to tell you, sometimes you need to stand by the man or the woman of God that God has placed you in. And things, and just hold their hands up. When you see the enemy coming in and fighting against the church, then the Aaron and Ur, whoever you are, you need to get by the man of God or the woman of God and say, I'm going to hold your hands up and things so that we can obtain the battle. We're living in times where so many people are going and following, trying to find their own ministry and things. And sometimes God may be just calling you to stand by the man or the woman of God, hold up their hand, because God said if you hold their hands up, the victory will come. If you hold them up with your prayers, hold them up with your fasting, stand by the side of them, be in Bible study, make yourself present and know that you're standing with that man or the woman of God. And God said, I'll give you the battle because your Moses, who God has placed over you, is holding up their hands and things. So remember and things, your role in the house of the Lord and things to hold the man or woman of God up, the angel for that house. As it is in this setting, the people of Israel discovered that the Lord was their banner or their standard. As long as he was on their side, they were certain of the complete victory. Now, the scripture said over in Exodus verse 17 and verse 14 through 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it on the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put my remembrance of the Amalekites from under heaven. And Moses built the altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with the Amalekites from generation to generation. Now let's look here. The Lord was their banner. Throughout Israel history, the descendant of the Amalekites rose up to destroy Israel, but the Lord continued to be the banner of their victory over their enemy, the Amalekites. And the descendant of Esau was the ancestors of the wicked Haman, who plotted the destruction of the Jews, and of the sinister King Haran, who tried to destroy the infant Jesus after the visitation of the wise men at Jerusalem, of Bethlehem. As long as the Lord is leading his people, nothing can destroy them. And that's where it's key for us, as to keeping the Lord out in front of every battle of our lives, every day, keeping the Lord out there in front. And nothing can and shall destroy the people of God. The scripture Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, here it is, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And God is still yet lifting up the standard against the enemy that's coming up to fighting against the souls of God's people. Now, the other thing about Jehovah Nissi, we can do all things through him. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but the spiritual and mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. The Holy Ghost that dwells within us is our enabler that we might defeat the powers of darkness that war against us. Through faith in God, nothing is impossible if we will call on the name of the Lord. Human wisdom and might are no match for the devil in his imp. But the power that works within us through the Holy Ghost can accomplish more than we can even imagine. And I believe that we need to tap into that power that is enabling us through the Holy Ghost. Through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, every demon must flee, because our strength lies not within ourselves, but in the Holy Spirit. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthening us. Philippians 4 and 13. The battle is not ours, but the battle is the Lord. Come on and just shout hallelujah. And it feels good to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Now let's look here at the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Further, he is God incarnate, Emmanuel, which means God with us, as God in the flesh. He was able and willing to purchase our redemption by laying down his own life, because he was Jehovah salvation, Yahshua. Jesus could lay down his own life as a sinless, spotless sacrifice for the redemption of lost humanity. Moreover, he had the power to lay his life down and to take it up again, because he was the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. Every good and perfect gift come from God above, James 17, 1 and 17, who delights in pouring out his blessing on those who love him. God will not withhold any good thing from those who love him and whom he loves. You'll see that over in Psalms 84 and 11. It is the desire of God to cause his people to prosper and to be in health. See 3 John and 2. Those who trust in him will not be disappointed, because he is faithful. When we put God first in our life, he will provide all of our temporal needs according to his word. And let's take a look over at Psalms 34 and 8 and what the scripture says. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." So here the scripture is denoted, if you want to be blessed, put your trust in God and things. The more you trust in God, the more the blessings of God will be released into your life, because you announce that, God, I can't do it. I am dependent upon you. I am your child. I am your daughter. I am your son. And I'm depending upon you, not upon my education, not upon my skills and my ability. Yes, I'm going to use those things, but I'm going to use them to the glory of God. But my dependency is upon you, O Lord. And what happened to a lot of people, they get so caught up in their abilities and their gifts and their talent, till they lose focus on the gift giver and one who has enabled us to be able to do the work that we're called out to do. As I was telling my church on the other day, we were sharing with them and wanted to declare a decree that sometimes we are standing off of the tears and the fasting and the prayers of our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers, those that have gone on before us, those that have prayed for us, and those that have sacrificed, made great sacrifices in the house of the Lord, that we may be saved today, lifting up holy hands and giving praise and glory as we are interceding for the next generation of those to come and things. We are the ones that are interceding for our nations that are coming after us, our children and our children's children, our tears at the altar, our fasting and our crying out unto God for our children, those that are lost, those that don't know God, those that have walked away from God, those that want to come, but the gods of this world has blinded their eyes and they have not released themselves and said yes to the Lord, but still playing straddle against the fence, those that are half-heartedly in the house of the Lord. Jesus is on his way back. Can't you see? Can't you hear the galloping of the horsemen that are coming to the town? We as children of God, we must get our house in order. God is on his way. Jesus is on his way back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's on his way back. And so we must get ourselves together as never before, children of God. He's on his way back, and he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Get it right. Get right, church. And let's go home. Get right, church. Amen. Because there will be a cry that's going to go out and things. And all those that hear my voice and be found looking will be found of him. Let's look at another scripture, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, we are called according to the purpose of God. And everything that we go through is working for our good. Either it's bringing a blessing to us, or it's cutting something out of our life, or God's bringing to our realization and our mindset, oh, wait a minute, that's a bad attitude. I need to get that out of your life. I want to eradicate that out of your life. I want it out of your life. And so these things that are coming up out of our life is because God is allowing us to see. He knows it, but he's allowing us to see it and allowing us to have opportunity to get it right before him. And so those things that are happening is not for naught. So we must tune in to God and commune with God and ask of God the questions. And Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? Where am I at right now? And as we begin to talk to God on that manner, God will reveal himself unto us. Let's look here. The psalmist David expressed his desire to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Indeed, God desired to dwell among the sheep of his pastures. As the shepherd kept watch over his sheep, Jesus, our God, shepherd, dwell among us to watch over us and to care for us. He also desired to give us eternal home in heaven where we may forever be with him. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus returned to earth again, he will reward the righteous with the remain faithful to the end. To his faithful servant, he will give honor, fellowship, authority, a crown of glory, and an incorruptible body. He will make those who have been faithful over a few things ruler over much, according to the faithfulness of their stewardship. Now, I think that that's something for us to take a moment to take look, note at. And one of the things that I share with the people of God, God is still calling us to be faithful. He's still calling us to be good steward over the things that he's given unto us. If you are part of the church, usher board, be faithful to that. You're part of the choir, be faithful in things. Sunday school, Christian education teacher, be faithful over what God has given unto you. And things. Sometimes we're more faithful on our natural job than we are faithful to the job that God has given to us. In the house of the Lord. If you are there to be on the pastor aid committee, well, be faithful to it. See how can you take it to the next level after you have done one thing for the pastor and their wives or their spouse. Lord, how can I do, what can I do next to be a blessing to the man or the woman of God to make their job easy, because they are constantly up under the fire and up under scrutiny and being lied on and talked about on the behalf of the church. They're standing in the midst. How can I be a blessing? How can I come along to be a blessing unto them? And, or how can I be the best Sunday school teacher? What's a new lesson? How can I do it instead of doing it just the same way? How can I bring creativity to that and things and taking it to the next level? And if you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, he promised that he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. If you are the one that's supposed to be over the finances department, Lord, how can we do fundraising? Raisers are different things that we can still generate so that we can do ministry in a spirit of excellency and things that it will bring glory and honor to your name. How can we encourage the people to be 100% tithe payer instead of just a few that are paying their tithes and faithful to paying their tithes, but they're seeing the blessings of the Lord? How can we, oh God, how can we be good steward over the things that God has given unto us and not allow the enemy to come in and cause division and schism and sow the seed of discord among the people and things. But you be the faithful one. You be the one that God can entrust you to be faithful over the few things that he's given unto us and things. And so we must be careful and be mindful that God's still yet calling for faithfulness. Nothing has changed. Yes, things are happening and the economy is changing, but God still remains the same. He's still requiring the same thing from us, to be found faithful. Even to the men, be faithful to your wife. Be loving to your wife. Be faithful to your children and things like that. We're living in a time and days in which, you know, men and women are doing whatever and hanging loose and doing whatever. But be faithful. Be like God. Be a faithful husband. And be a faithful unto your children and your children's children. Be the role model of faithfulness unto the children and before the children. Be one that have control over your anger, be control over your emotion and things and your disappointment. Don't bring it into your house. You the man of God, stand up, man up, and be the man and things as a man of God that God will call you out to be. Yes, I'm talking to us today. We as children of God, we need to come on up to the plate. That's what I shared with our men at the church. Look, we need to step up and things. Step up and be faithful. Be faithful over the things that God has given unto you and things. Walk in the spirit of humility and walk as devoted men of God, so the young men can see how to carry and operate and have role models in the house of God. If they see you faithful on the post, if faithful to your wife, faithful to your children, faithful to the deacon board, the men ministry, then they know how to pattern themselves after a faithful man in the house of God. And that's key. We need that as never before for our community, for our church, for the house of God. Can you take that task? That's a light thing that we could do for God. Now let's look over in Matthew 16, verse number 27. It said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angel. Then shall he reward every man according to his works." And so this goes right back unto the things that I was just talking about. God is going to reward us according to our works. And so it's so key, children of God, and don't let be spoiled in your mind by vain philosophy of men and things. God is still going to judge us according to our works and things. Don't let mumbling and complaining and things. Guess what? The whole church is striving to be what God is calling us to be. And things. We need God every day. And a lot of time we hear people say, well, it's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites sitting in the church of God and all that. But guess what? We go to church because we need God. We go to prayer because we need God to help us and things. None of us are made perfect. None of us are perfect. We will not be perfect until that day that he comes and snatches the church out and we change these bodies to incorruptible bodies. We are all striving to be the men and women that God is calling us out to be. There go us, but by the grace of God, we take and pull on the mercy and the grace of God and God's strength every day. That's why we go to church. That's why we cry out to God to help us, because we do need his help. The church needs his help. The world needs his help. Everybody needs God's help. And so don't let the adversary overthrow your mind or get on your nerves and things. When someone you go to witness and someone say, well, there's a whole bunch of hypocrites there in the house of the Lord. Well, they're all over and things. We're striving to be the men and the women of God and things. And we're striving to be all that God has called us out to be. Christ will reward every good work according to the loving kindness of God, no matter how great or small. Now let's take a look in concluding here. We know that the good shepherd shall supply all our needs. His provision are without limitation, for all that is in heaven and earth belong to him. His bountiful blessing belongs to us who are his people. Like the shepherd leads his sheep through green pastures, Jesus lead his people through places He may care for their spiritual and material well-being. All that we have need of, we may find in Jesus Christ. We are confident that he will complete the work he has begun in our lives. See Philippians 1 and 6. He will lead us and guide us through the wilderness of this world so that we might inherit eternal life. He will be with us and protect us from our enemies, for he is the sustainer of life. And I pray that this here has been such a tremendous blessing to you, because we must recognize that God is the good shepherd, and that he is that Jehovah Rapha, the one, he is our good shepherd, and that he is the chief shepherd, and that he is our Jehovah Jireh, that he will supply all of our needs, and that he is our Jehovah Shalom, he is our peace, and he is our Jehovah Rapha, the one that restores, the healer. He is our Jehovah Tiskanu, the one of our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. He, as we follow him, he will bring that righteousness in our life. And Jehovah Shammah, he is with us. He promised to be with us. He promised never to leave us. He promised to bless us in the midst of all of the trials and tribulation that we may go through. And then finally, the Jehovah Nisi, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. And we must recognize, child of God, I don't care what you go through or what you are facing, God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All we need to do is open our mouth and declare, God, you said it. You said if I call on your name, you will hear and answer my prayer. God, I need you, and I need you right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come and step into the situation and watch God move on your behalf. I come to tell you, child of God, I'm excited about God. I'm excited about God, and even though we seem like we're living in the worst of time, but this is the best time to see God, to prove himself to be God in our life, when all is looking for you to fail or you to succumb to the powers that is coming up against you. But I decree in your spirit tonight to stand. And like I told the saints on Sunday, you need to endure hardness like a good soldier. Stand up like the soldier of God, and put a praise back in your lip. Put a worship down in your soul and watch God perform it on your behalf. All you need to do is call on that matchless name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus, strength in the name of Jesus that will fortify the people of God, that will undergird the people of God. All God is waiting for us to call on his name. All God is waiting for us, if we to look to the hill from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, and he will not suffer our foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will you slumber, God. You won't slumber, Lord. Oh, we living in times, children of God, that we need to cry loud and spare not. We need to call on God as never before. God, help us, we your people. Oh, Lord, our God, just go with me in the prayer. I feel God us going to the throne room right now. Father, we feel you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said if we call upon your name, you will hear and answer prayer. And, oh, God, we come lift up the prayers of the saints, oh, God, before you. You see the needs of your people. Dear God, stretch forth your hand. Move by your power divine, Lord, as never before. Lord, beat back the hellhounds, Lord, and undergird your people, dear God. And Father, Lord, we'll praise your name and give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name, Lord. You are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, Lord. And we ask that you move today by your power divine. Stretch forth your hand today and move by your power divine. Oh, God, undergird the body and and strengthen. Let your anointing fall, Father, in the name of Jesus, dear God. Oh, God, those that are crying out, those that are downtrodden, those that are heavy in their spirit today, dear God, I asked, oh, God, that you, Lord, would stretch forth your hand. I asked, oh, God, that you, Lord, will bless those that are listening tonight, Lord, that you will undergird, fortify, and strengthen them. Put a praise back down in their heart, mind, and soul, Lord, on this day, dear God. Oh, Lord, lift up the bow down here. Oh, God, let the light of your countenance, Lord, shine, Lord, down upon your people, oh, God, on this day, Lord. And, Father, we'll praise your name. Meet the need. Let not a need go lack, oh, God. Even tomorrow, Lord, hold back the hand of the enemy, Lord, in the name of Jesus, dear God. And, oh, Lord Jesus, my God, Shalaboshea. Lord, bless them. Bless that daughter. Turn them back into hither. Break the band. Destroy the appetite, Lord. Let their desire be toward me, in and towards you and the things of God. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, Lord. And we'll praise your name, Lord Jesus. Shalaboshea. We'll give you the glory, Lord. We'll give you the honor, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, dear God, because you alone is worthy, Lokoboshan. You alone is worthy, O God. You alone is worthy. You are a good shepherd, Lord. And we shall not want, O God. We stand upon your promise, Lord, and decree you are a righteous Savior, Lord, the Holy One of Israel, O God. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory tonight and give you the honor, Lord. Father, Lord, this is our prayer that you meet every need. Let not a need go lack. Be strong. Show yourself strong, O God. And we thank you, dear God. Father, this is our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. Thank you, Lakobaria, Shekadaria, Tokodaria, Teke, Kurika Bashenda, the Kabaria, Shekaria, Teke. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. And in my closing, I wanted to say that if you don't have it, God got it, and you just one prayer away, all you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. And if you have not gotten it now, go back and ask again. And go back and seek God one more time. And watch God perform it and bring it to pass on your behalf. Truly we serve a God that cares. And he said for us to come cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. God care about your situation. You need to just cast it upon them and watch him fight that battle for you. Don't you dare give in, and don't you dare give up. If you threw in the towel, go back and get it and start all over again and watch God do it on your behalf. Be thou blessed, my child, and know that God was going to do it on your behalf. His word comes to your house on today. May the Lord our God bless you is my prayer, and forever, ever, you walk in the perfect plan and the will of God. I don't care how lonely it gets. How hard it gets. The Bible said for us to endure hardship like a good soldier. So stand up, woman of God. Stand up, man of God. It's time for us to man up and woman up and stand fast and hold fast to the word of the Lord. Because guess what? God is able to back his word and do what he said he's going to do. All he needs you to do is trust and believe that he can and he will and he shall come through on your behalf. May God bless you is my prayer, and may you have a blessed, blessed day in Jesus' name. God bless you until we meet again at our next session. God loves you. Bye-bye.